Today on the Fast 15, we're welcoming Catherine Witcher. For over 20 years, Catherine has been sitting at IEP tables, helping parents, teachers, and teams create IEPs that work. Inspired by her brother with Down syndrome, she became a special education teacher with a master's degree and 5 teaching certificates. She was determined to change the special education community from the inside of her classroom. After just a few years of teaching, Catherine was in high demand for special education consulting and speaking. She left the classroom and dedicated herself to changing special education by helping hundreds of families every year. When districts experienced her collaborative, common sense approach to solving even the toughest problems, they soon started hiring Catherine to help their special education teams from the inside. As an international speaker and founder of online training programs, the Master IEP Coach, Mentorship, and Network, Catherine serves thousands of parents and teams from around the world. She's determined to change the special education experience for everyone who sits at the IEP table. She's always ready to jump into all the hot topics, sticky conversations, and share the solutions that are needed for all children to be prepared for further education, employment, and independent living. Join me in welcoming Catherine to the Fast 15. Good morning, Catherine. And I'm just so excited to spend some time with you and welcome to the Fast 15. We wanted just a chance to get to know more about you today. And it's a privilege to have you and find out about your story, about your journey, kind of the early days. What's your career kind of been like, and how has your journey led you to what you're doing now with the Master IEP Coach? We want our listeners to find out all about that, the whole journey.
Yeah, so I'm so excited to share and to hopefully really show what is possible for other families and teachers who are out in our special education community, you know, in the trenches every day. So my first introduction to the disability community was through my brother. So my brother is in his late 40s. He has Down syndrome. When you do all the math, we will get into a history lesson in math here about special education, but he is the first generation of fully educated adults with disabilities. So the law was enacted in 1975. My brother was born in 1977, which means that I watched my mom navigate the system as the first fully educated from beginning till, you know, graduation, which was really interesting as a sibling. Yes. And we had a very, I'm going to call it kind of a traditional household. It was me and my brother. It was my mom and my dad. And my dad, you know, went to work to every day. And he was the breadwinner in the family, you know, in charge of us kids, right? To take care of it, just to do all of the things. And she definitely was my brother's advocate. And she was his voice. And she did a lot of the negotiating. And as a sibling, I was very nosy, right? So I'm listening to everything. And my thought was, why can't the teachers just teach my brother? Now, for all my teachers who are listening, I was like 10 when I remember thinking that. So like, don't come at me. All right. I was 10, right? I was like, right. I don't get it. Like, why can't they just do this? Like, why does my mom have to negotiate for a new school and negotiate for a different classroom and negotiate for all of these? Can't she please just cook dinner and us not talk about IEPs? Like, why does she have to pick me up late from school because she's too busy on the phone with the special ed director? That was real life. So I decided to become a special education teacher. But, you know, I'll just solve all the problems of special education from the inside of my classroom. So that didn't quite work out once I got into the system. And I was like, oh, okay, this is a struggle. Like, this is not just all the pieces of being a teacher, but there's a lot of red tape. And having that experience and watching my mom goes through it from the family side and me experiencing it as a sibling. And my very first IEP meeting I ever attended, I was probably about 18 years old. My brother was 16. We were talking about transition planning. I'll give you guys a little quick snippet of what happened at that meeting. The school said, basically, they say to my mom, what's going to happen when you die? And I was like, what? Like, what is happening at this IEP meeting? And so I was like, so my mom goes, he's just going to live with his sister. And I was like, we're like putting that in the paperwork. What does that mean? But here's the thing. As the older sister and having life that I had, of course, that's what I assumed growing up. I just knew that's not an issue. That may not be feasible. She may not want him to live with her. What other plans do you have? And my mom was like, hold up, stop right there. let's move back to the things that we need to talk about, school. That was not the issue. The issue was, why are we having this conversation here? And then the team said, hold up, stop right there. Let's move back to the things that we need to talk about, school. We don't need to have a future planning session here at the IEP team. That was my first IEP meeting.
Rough. Very intrusive. Yeah.
Yeah. It was pretty rough. So I become a teacher. I see all this red tape behind the scenes. I know the struggles that families are going through. And I actually walked into my classroom. This is back when they used to like print IEPs. Like you got a stack of IEPs. Yeah, I'm old.
And, oh, well, how about the triplicate forms? Where you're handwriting them
I have experience with triplicate forms. I do.
Okay.
So little whiteout, trying to print out some things on there, type them out on there. Oh, it was a lot. I walked in and I have this stack of IEPs and basically an empty classroom and it's good luck. And I'm like, what? Now, here I am 25 years later, I realized that was the norm and still is the norm. That wasn't something that anybody told me was going to happen, but it was happening everywhere. So as I tried to go through this IEP paperwork and figure out what am I supposed to do as this new teacher, I remembered how my mom negotiated things when she was upset and it was not nice. And I did not want to be on that side of having the parents call me and be really upset that the teacher couldn't do what needs to get done. So I was proactive, which is pretty gutsy. I got my first teaching degree when I was 20. So I look at, I have a 20-year-old daughter now. Like, I couldn't imagine. I was 20, so I'm just calling up the parents. And I'm like, hey, like, I'm the new teacher, and I'm looking through your child's IEP, and I love everything that's in here, and I would love to know, what's your priority? And they were, like, floored.
What?
Like, what do you mean?
Are you kidding?
Yeah. I was like, here's what I see, and what's going on at your house, and what are priorities, and what? And I went through this whole kind of national interview with them. And when they saw that I was then going to design their child's day, not just around the school's priorities, but their priorities as a parent, I had their trust. Now,
yes,
everything was not smooth. Like that is not the end of the story. I was still going through a ton of red tape on the back end. So what I found is I was teaching by day and coaching parents at night. This is what you need to ask for. This is how you need to do it collaboratively. This is how you do it without throwing a teacher under the bus. And when I started teaching that to parents, the parents told other parents who then told other parents. And I ended up with this big, long list of families that I ended up helping. And eventually I left the classroom and I started doing that full time as helping parents navigate the system. And the one last kind of piece of kind of the transition of how I ended up where I'm at now of what's going on is as I was then helping parents and I was sitting side by side with them or coaching them through what they needed to do, district saw what I was doing and they said, we've never seen this before. Can you come train our teachers to build IEPs like you're building IEPs? And that blew my mind because I was sure that I was going to have to choose.
Now, before we continue with our discussion, I want to take a moment to talk about something exciting happening in the world of education. Have you heard of Functional Academics by SDES? Their collaborative efforts with educators and families are paving the way for a more inclusive and supportive learning environment. Stay tuned for more details in this brief word from our sponsors.
Functional Academics by SDES's collaborative work with educators and families just like you provides an in-depth understanding of your needs in the community we serve. You've asked, we listen. It's coming. Stay tuned with more to come at SDESWorks.com.
Thank you, SDES, for your continued commitment to innovative approaches to building functional academics in our special education classrooms. And for your support of our Fast 15 champions. Now let's get back to this episode and our conversation.
Do I work for the schools or do I work for the parent? And I got the opportunity to be an independent practitioner, helping parents through the process. And then schools brought me in to do training and consulting. That to me was just magic. That to me, I was like, this is it. This is where it is. So that's how I ended up with our current training programs through Master IEP Coach, which are the only training programs where every program is built for parents, teachers, admins, and therapists to learn and work together.
Right. And if you're listening and you want more information about the Master IEP Coach, Catherine, where do they go?
MasterIEPCoach.com. And you can go get some free resources and you'll see other programs and trainings and mentorships and all different ways that you and I can connect.
Right. And what year was that when you actually started into it?
Yeah. So I will tell you, it was probably, I started coaching parents while I was still in the classroom. That was in the late 90s. I only stayed in the classroom for a few years, which is why, like, I'm not your person to teach, like, how to run a classroom. Like, I'm not that guru of how to run this perfect classroom. I got obsessed with building IEPs that made sense for the real world, for all people that were involved in the IEP process. So I've been doing this for 25 years. Master IEP Coach, I think, was established around 2017, but that's just when we put a name on it.
Right. And I'm curious about if you've had that long of a period of time just kind of working with families and your reach is growing. Is there one particular, without giving away any names or real personal information, I'm curious about, you know, has there been one that you've walked through from elementary all the way through to transition?
Yeah, I have. It's one of my favorites. And funny is the mom still comes on my Facebook page and is still, hire Catherine. She was with us forever. So what happened, she called me up around second grade is when she decided she really needed some help for her son, who is diagnosed with autism and a lot of other things too, just a lot of things going on with this child. And another layer to that is that he had a genius IQ. So it was definitely a situation where everybody's like, what do? We're having some of those, I'm going to call them kind of traditional struggles that we kind of think of when I have things like anxiety, ADHD, autism, OCD. You know, we can kind of picture some things as just with our experience. And then we layered on, this child had a genius IQ. And so there was a lot of moving parts in there. So I stayed with them all the way through high school graduation. Mom kept me in the loop through college and him navigating the disability office at college. And it was really exciting. I would say probably the most exciting piece of being able to work with this family, because it wasn't always about working through conflict. It was about really finding opportunities and this hope and possibilities and opportunities. It's not that there was conflict every year. It was, okay, it's that time again. Here's where we're at. Let's work together and have this brainstorm think tank, what is possible. And then, yes, sometimes there were definitely crisis situations happening. But my favorite with him is in high school, we were able to help him learn how to self-advocate for himself inside of the IEP meeting. And that was huge.
To have the whole team in, and especially the parents saying what is wanted and needed for, you know, from their perspective, that's just an incredible shift when we're able to get the student's voice at the table to be the loudest voice at the table, right?
He had trouble expressing himself verbally and he would be very loud, but always in a negative way. Okay. Right. In a negative way. We actually figured out the way for him to self-advocate as I was coaching him through this one situation. We're having a lot of difficulties, a lot of explosive behaviors happening, like to the point where the school wanted to call the police. The school wanted to really take some extreme measures because it was an extreme situation. And I finally gave him a piece of paper and a pen. And I said, can you draw for me the classroom and what you need me to put in the classroom? And where do you need to sit to make this classroom work for you? And he drew out everything in detail. And we realized that him being able to have another way to communicate, even though he was capable of the verbal communication and he was getting loud and he was the loudest at the table, it wasn't until we could get him to draw it. And actually, that was the loudest. And I try to explain that to parents a lot of times, even for themselves. You can actually have sometimes the biggest impact without being the loudest person when you know exactly what you're looking for.
That is so powerful. I love how you just said that. That's wonderful. Well, I have to get more information all about the specifics about the Master IEP Coach, your team, how you actually go through the process of working with people, just so that if they're interested in learning more and being a part of what you're doing, we want them to be able to, you know, get a real idea of the process, the tools. This has to be two episodes. We're going to come to the end of this episode, but we've got to have our listeners listen into part two of our time with you. Kathryn Witcher, thank you so much for being on this episode, and we'll catch you in the next one.
Thank you for having me.
A heartfelt thank you to our generous sponsors, Specially Designed Education Services, publishers of the Functional Academics Program. Please take a moment to learn more about the only true comprehensive functional academics program that enables students with moderate to severe disabilities to improve their ability to live independently and show meaningful growth both academically and personally, while creating accountability with data-driven, evidence-based results. Visit sdesworks.com to learn more.